I got a little message in for a cool fall evening. Ask your prayers, attention, and participation this evening. Got a scripture in the book of Philippians, second chapter. Remember the history of the congregation in Philippi? Paul, missionary journey, met a lady selling purple. Had a little group of folks who go down by the river and worship. She got converted, Lydia, seller of purple, created a stir, got thrown in jail. And the consequence of that was that the jailer and his household got converted. And the rulers of the city had to come themselves and apologize and get him out. The Philippian letter was written sometime after that. Established congregation then. And he's given them instructions on how to keep on living their lives. And the 14th verse is good instruction. It keeps coming right on down to us. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." I want to write some words on the board. Words I've written up there are complain and whine. Have you ever heard somebody whine? And snivel. Do you know what it means to snivel? Turn up your nose at anything and everything. Well, how many things are all things? The scripture said, "Do all things in this manner, without murmurings and disputings." Well, I guess all, with Paul, that would include getting beat, wouldn't it? Getting locked in the stocks. And he couldn't very well leave that out because that's what they saw happen to him there. What all does all reach to in our lives? What is there that we just have the right to whine about or complain about? And does it matter if we say who it is that we're talking to? Now, Paul, of course, when he's talking to the Philippians, well, he put the best face on everything. What about when you're talking to your companion or your parents? Does that still apply the same way? All things. How far is all? Who all's included in all? What all circumstances are included in all? What's left out? What is there a basis for us to complain about when we think about it? We just had a revival meeting. It was good. Refreshed my soul. I came near going to the altar myself. I wanted some more of that. And I appreciate it very much. And we ought to be pretty charged up right now, hadn't we? And the Lord's been blessing us, and I appreciate it very much. And I don't know why the Lord gave me this little message, but it's been on my mind for a while. And I hope you will not complain about our little effort this evening. And the Lord will bless it to be useful to us. I know there are other important doctrines in the Bible, but this is important too. The scripture teaches us that the Lord takes note of every word we speak and records them too. We got to give an account of them at the end of the journey. That's pretty serious. So we want to watch carefully what we say. Do all things, he said. The old devil will have a hard time getting around that. Find anything he can really justify to get out of sorts, get impatient, tired, cranky, and just spill it out on somebody. Some folks like to use other people for a garbage pail. I think so. You know, I think some people's feelings hurt them if they keep them all on the inside. And they're always looking for a chance to spill it out on somebody. And I'll tell you what all they're feeling bad about, I guess then they feel better. You don't. After you heard all their troubles. Actually, that's not really what the Lord wants us to do. It's true we need one another. It's true people get in places where they need a boost once in a while. But the Lord wants us to cast our burden on Him. And really, He wants us to do it in a way that's not complaining. There's a difference in telling the Lord our needs and our burdens and whining to the Lord. The Israelites found that out. You remember the story? It's in the book of Numbers, 11th chapter. The Lord gave them manna to eat. When I was in India the first time, Brother Boaz said to me, "The Jews are smarter than anybody else in the world. You can tell it because they got most of the money." Now, I don't know whether either one of those are true, but that was his opinion. And he pressed a point. He said, "You want to know why they're smarter than everybody else?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Because they had manna to eat. And that's better food than the rest of us get." Now, I hadn't ever considered that. But maybe it's true. I don't know. What I do know is they got tired of it. It was food the Lord gave them. The scripture said man did eat angels' food. And they got tired of it. And they started complaining. "Here we've been out here in this wilderness all this time. We got nothing to eat but this manna. Nobody worked for it. Does somebody pour your food down on the grass every morning? All you have to do is go out there and pick it up. That's not where mine comes from. Nobody had to work for it, but they just got tired of it. They wanted something different. Come complaining to Moses. I guess if they complain long enough, they're going to stir him up some trouble he can't deal with. All we got is this manna, and you let us out here. We had leeks and onions and watermelons down there in Egypt. You better do something, because we're going to go back or we're going to kill you or something." So there's only one thing for Moses to do. He didn't have any cattle to slaughter to give to him. So he started praying, and the Lord gave him an answer. My dad used to talk to me this way. If I'd complain to him, he reminded me of this one time. He said, "The Lord said, they want meat. I'll give them meat till they're sick of it. I'll give them meat not for a day or a week or 20 days. I'll give them a whole month to eat meat," he said, "till it's coming out their nostrils." That's pretty serious. That's the way the Lord looked at whining and complaining and feeling bad. And actually, the scripture tells us that when he got the meat and began to eat it, the plague broke loose among them while they were still chewing on the food, and a whole bunch of them died. Well, that's a pretty good indicator that the Lord pays attention to what we say, isn't it? And I think we ought to be careful about how we complain about Him. Scripture said, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Disputings hooks right up with murmurings. When people start murmuring, the next thing that happens is they're going to get in a quarrel about something. That's why that the Lord was displeased with what they were doing with Him. They were going to cause trouble for Moses. And the Lord knew that. And so He had to back Moses up. Moses doing the job that God called him to. The Lord had to back him up. And He had to intervene against these folks. You know, if the old devil can get us to murmur against the weather, against the heat, against the cold, against the location where we are, against one another, against somebody else, it won't be long till our unity will just be shredded. We won't have any sweet services anymore. We can come and sing the same old songs, but they won't have the same ring to them. When you come to meeting with somebody that you've been running down to your neighbors and talking bad about, and you get down to pray, how are you going to have a sweet agreement, a blessing? How are you going to do it? Do all things without murmuring, because murmuring leads to disputing, and disputing puts you in a place. Folks actually get this way. We get up and testify at one another or pray at one another. Have you ever heard anybody do that? Now, surely you say no. We wouldn't do anything, but people do things like that. Lord, you see what a thorn in some people are to me, and I ask you to have mercy on them and make them straighten up and behave so they won't bother me so bad. And that's not any kind of way to pray in a worship service, is it? But people do those kinds of things, and it leads to trouble. Then people can figure out what you're talking about, and it's not going to be very long until their agreement is not very good with you anymore. Do all things, he said, without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. When we murmur, we're not blameless before the Lord. Because after all, he made this world. He undertook our salvation. He guaranteed to protect and provide for us here. Never let more come on us than we're able to bear. And we start complaining, we're accusing him that he's not doing his job very well. And he pays attention to that. Oh, the old devil doesn't tell it to you that way. You know, it's not the Lord that's giving you all that trouble. It's Joe Blow. You can talk about Joe Blow, don't talk about the Lord. But the fact is, you can't do one without doing the other. Complaining, just murmuring and complaining. There are lots of ways to do that. Whining, sniveling, it means you don't want to face anything. It means anytime somebody asks you to do something for the Lord, you got an excuse. I can't do that because I got to stay home and pick the gravel out of my tires. Got too much to do. And all we were going to do is have a work day on the chapel and try to get it suitable so that when we have our next revival meeting, things are up to par like they need to be. But can't do any of those things because, well, I go out there and everybody tries to tell me what to do. I don't really feel like I fit in. Have you ever heard somebody say, I don't feel like I fit in? Those people are just so clannish. They just don't accept me. I don't know what it is. There's something about them that's, it's always them, you know. That's different, and I just can't be one of them. And a man told me one time, he said, you look at the congregations around, and you'll see that there are a handful of people that run, just about every one of them. Well, I'd been in about all of our congregations at that time, and I said, well, you know, and I'd had a little bit of experience with that kind of thing. So, you know, it doesn't really look that way to me. About every congregation I go to, folks have got a big workload to do, and somebody get in there without complaining, and you start being active to really help out and get interested in making things better, they're liable to find themselves where their voice counts a great deal. But if all you want to do is stand back and criticize what everybody else has been doing, well, of course, you're going to feel that way after a while. How can anybody possibly do what you're asking them to do when the biggest thing you do is run your mouth and you never, when it's time to actually do any work, you don't ever show up to do any? Well, that's murmuring and complaining, and that's the devil's playground. And it's what he'd like to do to every one of us if we'd allow him. The scripture said, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Could be blameless and harmless. We'll talk about harmless a little more in a moment. I'm just thinking about health. These bodies are mortal. They just are. They get hungry and they get tired. And things happen to them. You ever had a stone bruise on your heel? You ever had a blister on your finger? And burned my hand the other day. You ever notice how you get those little cracks that you get on the end of your fingernails when you have to work out in the weather a little bit? And it seems like you don't pay much attention to those places when they're healthy, but you get a little sore on your finger and everything you touch, it seems like it goes right to that place and hurts. Well, and I've seen people who just go on and do their work anyway and didn't pay attention to that. And there are some folks when you say, well, how you doing? Settle down. You're going to get a long history. Oh, I'm having such a hard time. My toe hurts and I can barely walk. My digestion's not working. Do you really think we want to know about your digestion? My digestion's just not working like I used to. You know, I used to just be able to eat anything I want to, and now I can hardly eat anything at all, and everything I eat seems to make me not feel good. And I can't sleep. If I could just sleep at night, you know, never can sleep good and wake up every morning and feel like that I haven't even been in the bed. I've walked in on some of those people who couldn't sleep and heard the snores. But they didn't feel that way when they woke up and started telling you about it. Some people are just so automatic. As soon as you ask, how are you doing? Here's my chance. As long as I say, some people seem to need somebody else to be their garbage pail. Pour all of that out, all of rotten tomatoes and the whatever is scraped out of the bottom of somebody's plate. Pour it all out on you. I guess they feel better then. Go on their way. Oh, I twisted my ankle 6 months ago. It's still swollen a little bit. Never has gone down like it ought to, and I have to limp everywhere I go. Well, folks, let me tell you something. There are times when we need to tell people we're in trouble. There's something serious, and we need some help with it. But these bodies are mortal, and every one of us have got some things sometimes that hurt, and to get tired. And it's possible to tell people the Lord's blessing me. And I thank God for what He's been doing for me. And I appreciate His mercy to me. And it's also possible to get up in prayer meeting night and spend 30 minutes putting in a prayer request, telling us every detail. I got hangnails and it hurts so bad. My lips are chapped real bad and they crack. And I just want you all to pray for me. Brother told me one time somebody called him in the congregation, his pastor, and said, oh, my toe's so bad. I said, I believe if you just come over and put your hand on my toe and pray for me. And that's, well, I'm sure he went over there and had prayer for him. But it kind of tends over there toward that category of whining a little bit, doesn't it? Woman, if it happened one time, well, it might be that there's really gout or something serious. But if about every other week you got something like that wrong with you, that's going over toward complaining a little bit, isn't it? And one another thing that I've noticed about some of the chronic complainers of that sort, I've had folks sound to me like they're just about to die with affliction that they got. And then somebody come in and say, hey, let's have a picnic. And the whole disposition changes. And you think there wasn't anything wrong with them at all. They're ready to get up and go, and it's something they really want to do. It's not hard. That's the devil, folks. We don't have to let the devil take advantage of us like that. The scripture said, do all things without murmuring and without disputing. Brother E.E. Byram wrote in his autobiography, this was years ago, he was working at a publishing work, gospel publishing work. He wrote an article where he said, I make myself as miserable as a married man. He said there was a man there who kept coming to him for counsel. His wife was a plague of his life. So he'd come and whine about his wife. Well, she doesn't cook my eggs the way that I want them. And you just don't know what it's like at my house, brother. And hard to get a decent meal to eat any time. Won't iron my shirts the way I want them ironed. On and on. Brother Byram did everything he could to boost him up, and he just wouldn't boost up. So Brother Byram said, I thought I'm going to try that out, see what it's like. So he said he got up one morning and decided, I'm going to go and greet everybody with a long, sad face. And he said he went down there to work on the presses, and folks come and tell him good morning, and he'd say, well, I guess it is, and like that. And when he went in to lunch, he sat over in a chair by himself and started crying. And folks do that because they get a response. The other people there came and gathered around him. Well, Brother Byram, what's the matter? We're concerned for you. And he said, I just cried harder. And he said, some of them fell on their knees and started praying for me. And all he was doing was trying to see what it's like to be as miserable as a married man. And he said, after he'd had enough of that, he went up to his room and prayed for the Lord to deliver him from the spirit of those things. And he was his usual cheerful, resilient self. Don't you know the devil will bind those kind of spirits on us if we let him? We got a life to live, folks. We're going to have disappointments, and we're going to not feel good sometimes, and we will do well to learn to be cheerful with what we have to face in life. I've learned there's such a difference in people. I've learned there's some folks who call a minister. Every little thing that happens. Yeah, my dog ran out in the road and got his nose caught in a mousetrap. They sure want you to know about it. There's some people like that, and there's some people, when they call you up and say, "Brother, I need you, you better get in your vehicle and go right now, because they're about to die." And there's a place for both, but the Lord wants us to be careful about murmuring and complaining, just about health. Just about health. People get in a habit of complaining about their health. Well, let me tell you what. If the Lord takes this body away, he's going to give you another one that's better, if you be faithful. So there's a time we ought to call for prayer, but there's also a time when we ought to not allow ourselves to whine and snivel and murmur and complain, or about other people. It's so easy to mock somebody else when they're not there and make fun of them, and it's really a form of murmuring and leads to trouble. You ever seen somebody do that? Did you notice, brother, Joe's ears? That man's got ears on him like an elephant. I believe he could almost tie them together and hang them behind his back. You know, well, some people do have irregularities. And the next time you see him, what are you going to think of if you allow somebody to talk to you like that? And people do that sort of thing. People say things about one another when they're with their friends that they wouldn't go and say to you to your face. But it causes an effect. It makes a difference. Well, you think what Paul had some of that in mind when he said, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings"? That brother gets up to testify. He just goes on and on and on so long, I just settle back and decide it's about time to take a nap. Because every time he gets up, that's the way it's going to be. And the poor old brother may not be able to order his words like you do. And he's doing his best to praise the Lord. And I'm over here, yeah, I sure wish he'd keep his seats. Always waits till it's just about time to go home. And then he finally does get up. And when he does, he just goes on and on and on. The devil works in those kind of things, folks. We can't afford to be that way with one another. Well, it's not a Sunday morning message, but it's not Sunday morning. So may the Lord bless it to us to be careful in the way we let the devil work with us concerning one another. Somebody's got a favorite song, and they call that song whenever they have the opportunity. And, of course, we notice that. And it's easy to label them. I'll tell you what. I'll sing any song in the book with you all the way to heaven by the Lord's help. I know there's appropriate time. And I know we ought to use some wisdom along with these things. But I want to be patient with folks who have something that they particularly enjoy. We didn't come out here to criticize one another or to pick one another. We're here to worship the Lord. And we do well to do it with a gentle, peaceable spirit toward one another, loving one another, because the devil takes advantage of those kind of things if we allow ourselves to be any other sort of way. Be careful of what you say about one of your fellow Christians along the journey. The Lord said some pretty strong things about that, you know. With what measure you meet, he said, it'll be measured to you again. If I can talk about how big your ears are, you might, Lord, liable to send somebody that emphasizes how long my nose is or some other kind of thing about me that's equally embarrassing. We need to be careful the way we handle God's own little children, the way he made them. I've heard folks complain about children in meeting. One told me one time, I just can't hardly go to meeting out there anymore because the children make so much noise. I can't hear anything that's going on. This makes me so nervous, I barely can stand it. Well, fortunately, in our chapel, we've got a nursery, and folks can go in the nursery. But I got a different thought from that a long time ago. When the children are making noise in our meeting, it means we get to keep on having worship service. These are some more folks that are growing up right here in our midst being taught the very same thing. And I wish we had a whole chapel full of them. And if we had it, some of them would make some noise. Because they're little children. Of course they do. But they ought to be welcome here. And thank the Lord for every one of them. And all the other things we can find to criticize one another about. Lord, help us to be patient, to be gentle, to be tender with one another. Because the scripture said, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now, how do you do that? You just make up your mind? That won't do it. No. My best answer would have to be, you've been living a long time for my generation. If I don't take time to pray every day, life presses me harder. I am more likely to be irritated with my wife if I haven't taken time to pray. There's nobody in the world with whom I deserve to be less irritated than my wife. I lie in the bed sometimes at night and think about that after she's gone to sleep. I don't know how in the world I got her. It's the mercy of the Lord. And I often think I don't know why she puts up with me. And I appreciate her very, very much. And the last thing I need to do is anything that would cast a stone in her journey to heaven. And if I make her feel bad, that does that. You know, that's something she's got to pray over. Well, so what do I do? Make my wife change so she suits me better? You can't do that. No, there's a better answer than that. And if I wanted to make her change, the way to do it is not by trying to force her to. It's that secret time with the Lord. Every morning your world changes color. Haven't you felt it? I never feel good when I get up in the morning. I've known people roll out of bed and they're glad to see the sunlight and cheerful and happy. That's not me. When I get up in the morning, I need to go pray as soon as I can. And everything changes color. I don't know how it happens, but the mercy and the glory of the Lord come down. And I have to look at myself and say with the songwriter, the graces within are not mine. The love and the power and glory belong to the Savior divine. That special time changes everything. You wouldn't let me be here with you if I didn't have that. I wouldn't be a very nice person, I don't think. The Lord's changed me. And I recommend that to you. It will enable you to bear all things without murmuring and disputing. Murmuring against my brother amounts to murmuring against the Lord. Murmuring about my health, that amounts to murmuring against the Lord. Oh, be careful about murmuring against the Lord's church. Be careful about doing that. Hold our meetings too long. I don't know why they always sing the same songs. I don't know why this and why they that. You know, can't get them to do anything. Get a project going, stop in the middle. Be careful. Be careful. The Lord's paying attention to that. People who might be working on these things have got busy concerns that make it sometimes difficult or impossible for them to do more. And if I complain about what they're doing, the Lord's liable to put some of that on me. He can, well, that'd be his mercy to do it. I'd rather face it here than face it at the judgment, wouldn't you? Lord, help us to be patient and gracious, kind and loving with one another. I expect you got my thought by now. Now ask the Lord to bless us. I don't have words to say it, what it means, how I long for it, how valuable it is. Those times when we're urgent and we can all gather here at the altar and weep and pray together, then there's nothing between us. It's sweet. It's innocent and pure. The Lord's pleased with that. The old devil uses tools to try to change it. One of those is murmuring and disputing, complaining about our personal lives, complaining about one another, complaining about our community, complaining about our world. I don't like the way the world's going, but it's still God's world. He's got it in control. some of the changes that have recently taken place in our nation. Just to praying about that and concern, feeling bad. And the Lord said to me, when you're compassed on every side, look up. That ought not be a surprise. He told us it would be that way. Look up. There's always somewhere to look. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. There'll be some, just when there seems there isn't a way, there'll be a way. The Lord will make a way. He's got us in His hand and His control. Let's not complain about our rulers, our leaders, our government. Let's pray down grace and thank the Lord. He's got His hand over all of these things. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this evening. Amen.